President of the Scottish Secondary Teachers Association, and I started by asking him to give us Scotland's own experience in terms of what Scotland's previous score was for maths and reading and science and what it is now post-reform.
Unfortunately, we are slipping down the rankings. We're not happy about that, and clearly something needs to be done. But we are also in the middle of reform in terms of our own curriculum as well. We've been implementing the Curriculum for Excellence since 2010 onwards, and that has been quite a significant addition to teachers' workload, which we've been talking about, and it's generated quite a lot of dialogue in Scotland within the education community.
So, Ewan, could you give us a little bit of detail about the reform itself in Scotland and whether or not it's like what's proposed in this country?
So our Curriculum for Excellence was first conceived back in 2004, and implementation took place from 2010 onwards. To begin with, we had quite serious concerns about the vagueness of the curriculum. A lot of teachers felt it lacked clarity in terms of classroom expectations and the ways that pupils' progress and attainment would be assessed. But we also felt that there were a lot of really valuable principles underlying the new curriculum. For example, Curriculum for Excellence talks about developing young people to be confident individuals, responsible citizens, effective contributors and successful learners. Great principles, but quite difficult to quantify. But one of the big problems, when CFE started implementation, teachers had just no idea of what the final assessment structure would look like for school leavers. Guidance and procedures came in late. We asked for some delays in starting the new exams, and unfortunately, those were refused, and our new exam structure was put in place from 2013 onwards. The consequence of that was we had a workload spike, and unfortunately that also coincided with teacher shortages, pensions increases and real-term pay reductions and cuts in support staff. It's been quite a difficult couple of years, to be honest.
So, Ewan, are you saying that teachers didn't buy into the reform in the first place, or was it the way that it was rolled out, how things happened so late in the day?
I think some teachers were sceptical at first, but they could see that there were real benefits in as well. We were getting away from rote learning, we were moving into a far more holistic approach. We could see that was good, but we really weren't at all sure about exactly how that was going to happen and how it was going to be assessed.
Yeah, there is some resistance from teachers here to school-based assessment. They say it's inevitably going to lead to unfairness and teachers will have favourites and they might know a student and their circumstances and possibly know the parents. And this has been one of the key issues. So was that one of the things within Scotland's school-based assessment that was an issue for teachers?
Yes, I think so. I mean, it's interesting. I was at the ESDI conference last year and it was interesting to hear what teachers were saying there. They were talking about the real need for teaching to be well resourced, to be respected, to be nourished. And they talked about having really clear approaches to standards, equity and fairness. But I also heard concerns being spoken about in terms of initiative overload and real shortages of time and resources. And one teacher actually said to me she felt the joy was being taken out of teaching. I think what's really important is that, you know, we have to get education right for young people. It's not something, I think one of our experiences is it's not something to rush into. You've really got to take your time over it to get it right. After our qualifications have been running for a short time, there was a review body, had a look at it, and they discovered that the new qualifications had led to an unintended and unsustainable workload for pupils and for teachers. And now we're in the midst of a rush job to try and get it right. And it's far better to take your time and to get it right in advance than to be in the middle of delivering it and trying to make it better as you go along.
Well, we have been talking about junior cert reform for many years in this country. Those in favour will say, look, the proposals have already been watered down and say, actually, this is an objection to work from teachers or more work from teachers rather than a rejection of the reform itself.
I think the challenge at the moment is how the government supports teachers. And this is not just for the Irish government, it's for governments everywhere. How they support teachers, how they listen to teachers, how they lead teachers, how they can pay them properly for the time. There's a lot of pressure and resources now. And really giving them the time they need to develop and implement a curriculum that meets young people's needs both today and for the future. We have to get absolutely right. However we assess young people, it has to be absolutely spot on. Whatever you put in place, that is going to be the gold standard for a long time, and you want to make sure you've got it right. And that takes a year or two longer than perhaps somebody likes. Well, that's maybe just how it has to be.
perhaps inevitably, Ewan, there's always going to be teething problems with something as big as this, problems that people won't have anticipated. You learn as you go, much like the students, I guess, and perhaps you just have to get on with things and go through those couple of years of teething problems, and things will improve perhaps down the line.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And we've already been through a bit of curriculum reform. I don't know if you're familiar with Higher Still, which was brought in Scotland back at the turn of the century. And it did quite a number of teething problems. There was massive over-assessment in it as well. And we were quite surprised that we didn't learn from that experience when the new qualifications were brought in 2013 here in Scotland.
Ewan, what do parents need to be concerned about junior cert reform, whether it does happen or not, and what do they need to listen to teachers about?
I think what parents need to be certain of is that they understand how the qualifications work, that they are absolutely certain that young people are being presented at the right level, and that everybody's getting fair chances and good options.
Ewan, when you look back in a number of years, you may think, you know, yes, reform has worked. We had our problems initially, but we can't always do things the way we used to. The world has moved on. We need to move on from rote learning and those pressurised situations with exams at the end of the year.
Yeah, I don't think anybody doubts that. I think there's a desperate need for, as I was saying before, these 21st century competencies. You know, we need to remember that the days of a job for life are long gone. And young people need to be ready to be quite adaptable and ready for all sorts of employment opportunities. And that means getting real deep learning in place, not just enough to pass an exam. You know, remember it long enough for an afternoon's exam, but to actually have that ability to learn for life and putting in place those foundations for lifelong learning is really, really important.
Thank you very much for joining us on News Talk Breakfast, Ewan Duncan of the Scottish Secondary Teachers Association.
Okay, 17 minutes past seven now on News Talk Breakfast with Colette Fitzpatrick and Shane Coleman. Fergal O'Brien, the IBEC Director of Policy.